Our reading this morning is by the theologian Howard Thurman. It is entitled, Keep Alive, the Dream in the Heart. As long as a person has a dream in one's heart, they cannot lose the significance of living. It is a part of the pretensions of modern life to traffic in what is generally called realism. There is much insistence upon being practical, down to earth. Such things as dreams are wont to be regarded as romantic or a badge of immaturity or an escape hatch for the human spirit. When such a mood or attitude is carefully scrutinized, it is found to be made up largely of pretensions, in short, of bluff. People cannot continue long to life if the dream in the heart has perished. It is then that they stop hoping, stop looking, and the last embers of their anticipations fade away. The dream in the heart is the outlet. It is one with the living waters welling up from the very springs of being, nourishing and sustaining all life. Where there is no dream, life becomes a swamp, a dreary and dead place, and deep within a person's heart begins to rot. The dream need not be some great and overwhelming plan. It need not be a dramatic picture of what might or must be someday. It need not be a concrete outpouring of world-shaking possibility of sure fulfillment. The dream is the quiet persistence in the heart that enables a person to ride out the storms of one's churning experiences. It is the exciting whisper moving through the aisles of one's spirit, answering the monotony of limitless days of dull routine. It is the ever-recurring melody in the midst of the broken harmony and harsh discourse of human conflict. The dream is not an outward thing. It does not take its rise from the environment in which one moves or functions. It lives in the inward parts. It is deep within where the issues of life and death are ultimately determined. So keep alive the dream. For as long as a person has a dream in one's heart, they cannot lose the significance of living. This ends our morning's reading. Again, I would like to thank Roger, Reverend Roger, as they say down there, for graciously allowing me this opportunity to share his pulpit. Y'all already know what an excellent minister he is. There is no doubt about that. And I can tell you what a valued and more than excellent colleague he is as well. As Roger said, he and I co-chair the Committee on Continuing Education for the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association. And while he does keep rooting for the wrong teams, such as the Tigers rather than the beloved Yankees, I really have come to respect his wisdom, his intellect, his compassion, his kindness, his humor, and it really is my honor to call him a friend. Now allow me to share a little bit about me. As you can see, I am an African-American woman. I am also a lesbian woman, and while I do live in Wilmington, North Carolina, that's Wilmington pronounced with no L and no J. If you say Wilmington, you mean Delaware. And though I love to speak as if I were actually born there, I'm a New Yorker, all right? I was born and raised a Muslim, and I became a Unitarian Universalist when I was in my early 40s. That was a while ago. How much? Well, let's just say it was in a different century. So that's a little bit about me. Well, there is one more thing you should know about me. I am an unabashed Unitarian Universalist Evangelical. All right, there we go. Thank you, brother. Now, Unitarian Universalist Evangelical is a lot to say. So I just come to call myself an evangelical. That's spelled E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-C-U-U-L. Now, it's not an oxymoron to be a Unitarian Universalist Evangelical. Contrary to the popular joke about what happens when you cross a Jehovah's Witness and a Unitarian Universalist, somebody who knocks on your door and goes, knock on your door and ask, have you heard the good news of Unitarian Universalism? And we've got good news. We just don't seem to want to share it. Instead, we wait for people to find us. We wait until people have children. And those children start asking the hard questions like, Daddy, where does God live? Now, they've already heard about God, but they want to know where God lives. And Daddy doesn't know what to say. So Dad gets on the computer, starts doing some research on religion, finds Belief-O-Matic that tells him he's a Unitarian Universalist, grabs his kid, comes to church in tow with this look on his face going, help! Or we wait until people get around 50 and wake up and go, oh my God, really, I am actually going to die one day. And you start asking those hard questions like, what does come next? And really, what should I be doing with my life? Or we wait for people to get exhausted from the bar scene and internet dating services and figure they might come and find a suitable life partner at one of our congregations. And I am all for finding your soulmate at church. I think it's a logical place to find someone who shares your values and your understanding about life. It's where I met Elizabeth. When we wait for people to get tired of being angry with the religion of their childhood that did not affirm them. Or we wait for people to seek out a religious home because they never had one. And if any of these are the reasons that you have come here this morning, welcome. Come in. We've been waiting for you. And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. It seems that waiting is one of those things we do quite well. But I am impatient. And I believe it's time for us to stop waiting. We've got good news, and it's time. time to let the world know what that good news is. It is time, sisters and brothers, for us to learn to evangelize. I did not say proselytize. Proselytizing is threatening. If you don't come here, bad things will happen. We're not proselytizing, we're evangelizing. Evangelizing means to invite into the good news. And we've got good news. Now, maybe because I'm living in the South that I dare to use the E word. I've had to learn a new language since I've moved there, like y'all. Y'all. But you know, y'all is a necessary corrective to a deficiency in the English language. There is no second person plural in English. Y'all is second person plural. All y'all. Well, that's a whole different story. And I'm not the minister of my congregation. I am the pastor of the congregation. Ministry is something done by everyone in the congregation. Everyone can be a minister of the congregation. They get the concept of shared ministry. And because I have used and learned new language, I am unafraid to say that I am an evangelical. Now, what's the good news of our faith? Freedom. Reason, love, and hope. From our Unitarian ancestors, we get freedom and reason. From our Universalist roots, we claim love and hope. And ain't that good news? So here's how it goes when I'm usually spreading the word of Unitarian Universalism. Have you heard the good news of Unitarian Universalism? No. What was it? What you just called that? What y'all call that? Unitarian Universalism. Hear that. What's that all about? We are a community of faithful people walking together while unagreed on the most essential issues of faith. And we do it in peace and in harmony. We don't start wars with each other because one person believes in God and the other person would never use that three-letter word. We don't start pounding on each other because one person follows the way of Jesus and another follows the way of the Buddha. We worship together, we work together, we play together, and we don't have to agree on what happens when you die, what brought life into existence in the very first place, or how to pray, or even whether to pray. We do all of this in peace. And wouldn't the world be a better place if it could do what we do every week? We believe that you are free to explore your own religious truth without being told that you have to believe in this or that. We believe in freedom. We've got good news. The good news of freedom. And when you walk in our doors, you can bring your whole self. You don't have to check your mind at the door. You don't have to suspend your reason. You can bring it with you. about to get a poof. What about the Bible? Y'all believe in the Bible? I live in the Bible Belt, so I'm going to get that question a lot. You may not get that one as much up here, but, you know, you should have an answer just in case. So I say, yes, ma'am, we use the Bible, we do. We look for the truth behind the stories. Some of those stories, you know, don't make any sense. But they are still trying to tell us the truth. Come on. Do you really think Jonah got swallowed whole by a big fish? But Jonah had a job to do. And Jonah was running away from it. And he was swallowed up by the guilt that he felt about not doing the job he had been called to do. And guilt can be a pretty big fish, and it can swallow you whole until you get back on track and do the work that you were meant to do. That's a truth. The story is just a story. We don't try to make reality fit the story. We don't expect that you will use reason every day but Sunday. So you don't have to pretend to believe something you know isn't true. That's the good news of reason. Because what? We've got good news. Now right about now there's usually a And then the J question comes. Y'all believe in Jesus? Yes. We believe Jesus was a great man. He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He taught us to do for the least among us. He taught us to love everyone. And that is exactly what we try to do. We believe that everyone is born with worth and dignity. And we try to find that inner light in every person and love them. It's not easy. And that's what made Jesus a great man. He did find a way to love everyone. And he was only a man. It would actually be easier for us if we believed that Jesus was more than a man. We wouldn't have to find a way to stand on the side of love every time. We could say, well, you know, Jesus was more than human. So, of course, he could love everyone, but you know what? We're mere mortals and we can't do that. No, no. When we know that Jesus is only a man, we have lost our excuse. Because if that mere mortal could learn and teach radical love, then we have no excuse for not learning radical love ourselves. And we believe in a world to come where everyone will practice radical love. And what is that? Thank you. Let's all try together. What is that? It's good news. It's the good news of love. And while we're on the subject of Jesus, on Easter morning, what was resurrected was not the body of a man, but something even more important. His message. His message of hope. And hope is at the heart of Unitarian Universalism. We believe in the hope of this world. We don't need to worry about the time after life. We believe in the time of this life. And we believe if we put our hearts and our minds and our hands and our feet to the task, that the realm of God will be here on earth. And what is the realm of God? A world where there are no more tears of poverty, no more lamentations of injustice, no more cries of war. A world where justice shall roll down like water and peace like an ever-flowing stream. Now, you may not want to call that the realm of God, but it's still good news. It's the good news of hope. Unitarian Universalism offers freedom. And what's that? That's good news. Unitarian Universalism offers a reasoned faith. And what's that?
Good news.
And we offer love for who you are, just as you are. And what is that?
Good news.
That's right. And we offer hope. The dream of the heart. Hope. And what's that? That's right. We've got good news. Spread the word. Now, I wasn't born a Unitarian Universalist. Well, none of us were. There's no DNA code for Unitarian Universalism. We were gifted this, each and every one of us. Maybe it was from our parents. Maybe it was from a friend. Spread the word. And I can hear some of you going, now, Reverend Cheryl, you're a minister. I can't say all of that. I don't even know if I believe all that you just said. Well, what part of what I said don't you believe? That our faith offers freedom? That our faith offers reason, that our faith offers love, that our faith offers hope. I don't think you should use my exact words. That's the beauty of our faith, that we each speak our language and that we may speak of our faith in our own language, language that fits us, but language that may be understood by the person with whom you are sharing the good news. And remember, I told you that I don't call myself the minister, I call myself the pastor, because we are all ministers of this faith. And Unitarian Universalism needs you. It needs you to bring the good news of Unitarian Universalism to the people. I know that here in Appleton, you are doing a very fine job of bringing our life-affirming and life-saving message to people. So much so that you have to build a new sanctuary. I feel your joy and your pain. But your circle of influence lies beyond Appleton, lies beyond Wisconsin. You know people all over the country, maybe even all over the world. Share with them the good news of Unitarian Universalism. Because you may have no idea of how precious a gift you are giving someone. You may have no idea of how that may actually save their lives. I think about this epidemic we are having in this country of young lesbian, gay, transcendent, transgendered, bisexual, questioning people taking their own lives because someone told them that society would not love them. And someone told them God would not love them. Imagine the difference it would have made in their lives to know that there was a place, there was a faith that was going to tell them, you are loved just as you are. You are loved just for who you are. You need not change. Come in. You are loved. What a difference that message might have made. Share the good news. Spread the word. Stand by this faith. Support it in all of its many ways. Give it your time. Give it your money. Give it your heart. And then give it to someone else. Join me. Become an evangelical. Because we've got good news. Amen. Blessed be Ashe. And one of the ways this morning I'm going to ask you to stand by this faith is to make a generous donation, because it is Association Sunday. Since 2007, we have had these special collections as a way for all of Unitarian Universalists across the country to reaffirm their commitment to this faith. This year, a major part of your donation will be going to the religious professionals of this faith for their continued education, for their scholarships to go to institutes, for just not just ministers, but also our religious educators, our musicians, to strengthen our excellencies in our ministries. And in strengthening them, we strengthen our congregation. You all deserve excellent ministers, excellent religious educators, excellent musicians. You deserve that. And we are trying to help make that happen. Y'all are on your way. You got it. But you know, other people need more excellence too. We ask that people give a minimum of $20. But I'm going to ask you to give more. I'm going to ask you to think about giving one extra dollar for every year this faith has made a difference in your life.
All right,
Joe. I'm going to say it. Well, no. You got a big check there right there. I think you might agree that really, in the end, no amount of money can really express how much of a difference this faith makes in our lives, where we may come and be who we are, just as we are, and know that we are loved. There is no price that you can put on that.